Thank you, Randy. If you have a Bible, open it to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Thank you for the opportunity to come and spend a week with you. I always love singing with Mike Romero, and I love your pastor, Randy. I wish he had a little more energy, you know. Yeah, but he loves you, and he's a man of God, and I'm looking forward to spending the week with him also. I want to share a short little word with you this morning to get us started from Mark chapter 1. And really, I'll refer to three words from this text all week long. They're three very important words in what the Bible says. You know, you probably know this, but I want to make sure you know it. I didn't bring revival with me in my suitcase from Oklahoma City. I grew up in Pawhuska, a town about like Medill. And my dad owned a gas station. We fixed a lot of flat tires. He did the mechanic and work. And I worked in the tire shop. I didn't really know much about engines or mechanics. I was more interested in sports. But I worked there on summers and Saturdays. And I learned to drive, driving his 1974 Ford pickup about a mile from the west side of town where his service station was, down toward downtown to Munger Brothers parts store to pick up parts for him. Usually he'd be greasy or be under a car or something, and he'd need a part. I'd go get it. But the old man at Munger's knew that I didn't know what I was talking about. And he kind of liked to make me look like a fool. So I'd come in and ask, you know, for a part. And he'd say, "Well, what size motor is that?" I didn't know. "Well, is it a six-cylinder or eight-cylinder? I don't know." And he'd start asking me questions and get me all confused. And so Dad and I worked out a deal. He would call Mr. Munger, and I'd start driving. And when I got there, a lot of times I'd still be on the phone. And Mr. Munger would hang up, and I'd say, "I'm here for that stuff Dad just talked to you about. I'm here for that stuff that my father has already been talking to you about." Revival comes when we listen to the Father. And I know the Father has already been speaking to you. It is our Father's good pleasure to bring life and power to move in the hearts and lives of his people. No one in this room wants revival for First Baptist Church Medill more than our Heavenly Father. And he has already been talking to you about the stuff. I don't know what it is, but I think many of you do. There's some stuff you need to let go. There's some patterns you need to change. Some of you are dealing with a call in your life and you've been holding back and hesitating. You think you're too old or unqualified. Some of you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. Said, "You know what? I'm broken in ways I can't fix. And today I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to fix me and set me right, to save me." Finally, you're going to get over that old pride. I don't know what it is, but the Father speaks to us, and revival comes when we listen to him. And we respond to our Heavenly Father in some very basic ways. And here in Mark chapter 1, we find what I think are the basics of the kingdom of God. Some unchanging, always essential patterns of life for the people of God. And it's a text that maybe you're familiar with. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. "Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God." Let me just pause right there. That verse describes the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And I want you to know that it says that Jesus started his work after John had been taken into custody, and he started his work in Galilee. Now, we don't think much about this because those words either are totally unfamiliar to us or so familiar we don't listen to them anymore. But do you remember why John was taken into custody? It's because he confronted the sexual sin of King Herod. And so King Herod, a corrupt politician, had him put in prison and eventually beheaded him. And Galilee is not where the capital is. It's not where the rich and powerful are. Galilee is the backwoods. Galilee is out in the middle of nowhere. In fact, the people of Galilee had a little bit of a bad reputation. And so think about this with me. When the Lord Jesus himself begins his work, he does it in a dark time, in an out-of-the-way place, with an unexpected people. So why not now? Why not here? God could begin a revival right here that moves all across our state, even our nation. And when he brings revival, it will be because we pay attention to these basics. So Jesus comes preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. Repent and believe in the gospel, the good news. As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, there's some basics here. I want you to see the primary verbs. Repent, believe, and follow me. And those are the basics for how to become a Christian. They're also the basics when it comes to how we should live as Christians. Now, some of you here have never had a life-changing encounter with Christ. You've never made a personal commitment to Christ. And here's how you do it. You repent, you believe in the gospel, and you follow Jesus. Some of you here have been Christians for 30 years. But you're wondering, what does God want to do in my life? How would God do a fresh work in my life? If God began to move with power in my life, how would I respond to him? Let me tell you, you'd repent, you'd believe in the gospel, and you'd follow him. Let me explain. To repent is to turn around. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction. To repent is to turn. Repentance has to do with realizing I am heading the wrong direction and I need to turn around and go God's way. That's repentance. It's not just feeling sorry. It involves oftentimes feeling sorry, a brokenness of heart and spirit, but primarily it's that change of direction, that willingness to turn. Turn, repentance. You can't be saved until you repent. To believe in the gospel is to trust in the good news. Specifically, Mark tells us, it's the good news of the kingdom of God that's established by Jesus Christ. And then follow him. A Christian is somebody who turns from their sin, a broken way of life, who believes in the good news of what Jesus did on the cross through the power of his resurrection, and they're going to follow him. I'll follow you. I'll follow you all the days of my life. I'm going to start by following you in baptism, and I'm going to keep right on following you all of my days. That's what a Christian is. But you know, there's something interesting in the language of the New Testament. Their verbs are not exactly like our verbs, and their present tense verbs talk about a continuing action. So sometimes a verb means something you do one time, and sometimes it's an activity that you just keep on doing. And one of the interesting things about Mark chapter 1 is these verbs are continuous presence. So if I was going to translate this, I might say like this. Jesus said, keep on repenting. Keep on believing in the gospel. And keep on following Jesus. That's what Christians do. Listen, that's the basic. I drive about 40,000 miles a year and never leave the state of Oklahoma. I can go from Broken Bow to Boise City blindfolded. And I'm going to confess to you, sometimes when I'm driving, I'm talking on the phone. I might be eating some junk food. Sometimes I'm reading my email. And then a big old truck will pass me, or maybe the wind will start blowing or start raining. You know what I do? 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, eyes on the road. I should have been doing that all along, but I go back to the basics, right? Well, here, this is the basics of Christianity. Whether you're not a believer at all or you've been a believer for 30 years, here's what a Christian does. She repents and keeps on repenting. Believes in the gospel and keeps on believing. Follows Jesus and keeps on following Jesus. These are the patterns of the Christian life. So here we are in the midst, coming out of this COVID year, in the midst of all this craziness that's been 2020 and 2021. And we wonder, what should we be doing as the people of God? How should we be responding to days like this? We ought to start with repentance. We need to repent and keep on repenting. Not just lost people that need to be saved, but Christian people who are in the church. Isn't it interesting how good we are at identifying the sins and the silliness, the darkness and the corruption of the people out there, while we overlook and tolerate the sin and the corruption, the silliness and the darkness of the people in here? Or even right in here? Do you remember Jesus told a story about that old boy who was trying to take a speck out of his neighbor's eye while ignoring the plank in his own eye? You remember that? One of the keys to moral influence, to influencing our neighbors and a community, is that we would be more critical of ourselves than we are of them. Right? When my neighbor realizes that I've got higher standards for myself than I do for him, then he'll listen to me. And when the reverse is true, he's never going to hear a word I say. And can I tell you that the people in America, probably the people in Marshall County, that they've got the impression that these folks at First Baptist Medill, They're nitpicking the sins out there and tolerating the sins in here. And as long as that's the case, nobody listens to us. So what's the church need to do in times like these? We need to be repenting. The psalmist, David teaches us to pray, "Search me, O God. Would you search me, O God? Show me my heart. Would you try and test me and expose any hurtful way in my life?" That's the prayer that precedes revival. How long has it been, Christian, since you found yourself repenting? How long has it been since you're on your knees in the presence of God crying out, "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, change me. Oh God, I turn from my wicked ways to you"? This week might need to be a week of repentance for some of you. What about believing in the gospel? We talk all the time about the fact that somebody who's saved is somebody who believes in the good news of Jesus Christ. But what does it mean to keep on believing in the gospel? The gospel is good news. Jesus says here in the text, the time is fulfilled. You know what that means? It means God made a promise and now he's keeping it. That's what that language means. God made this promise long ago and I'm here to keep it. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule, the reign of God. What Jesus is saying here is that through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God is keeping his promise to set the world straight. The world is broken and in defiant rebellion to its rightful king, but God in his grace doesn't just give up on the world, doesn't wash his hands of these old sinful broken people. No, he sends his son to intervene on our behalf, to show us who God is, to lay down his life on the cross of Calvary, to pay the penalty of our sin, and buried, he's risen again. Today he's at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Why did he do all this? So that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins and trespasses against us. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. In other words, this old broken world is not just going to spin out of control. The Lord God Almighty is the king, and he's established his kingdom in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. It's not about what you need to do. It's about what he's already done, right? That's the good news of the kingdom. And the call is to repent of your sin and believe in the gospel of God. But listen, I'm in a different church every Sunday all across the state. Can I tell you one of our biggest problems? We don't believe in the gospel anymore. We've got people that sit in our pews every Sunday and they've lost their gospel confidence. Man, we watch the news at night. And when I was pastor, I'd go Wednesday night supper. I could tell what was on news that evening because everybody'd be worried about it and fretting and wringing their hands and fear and frustration. What in the world are we going to do? This old world is so broken, dark, going to hell in a handbasket, and we've got nothing to offer. We're just the church. You hear that? Listen, the people of God are marked today by too much fear and frustration. Do you believe what I just said about the gospel? You're the only ones that can do anything about it with the good news of Jesus Christ. But we write people off. We write our communities off. We say, oh, our town, it's not the way it used to be. Our families aren't what they used to be. There's so much drugs and poverty and brokenness. We can't build a church on broken people. The church has always been built on broken people. Right? So maybe what needs to happen this week is you renew your gospel confidence. Remember the Apostle Paul, who we think of as being a famous great man, but remember when he lived, nobody knew who he was. He was a nobody from nowhere, without resources, without authority, without position. Do you remember Paul said, I hope I can go to Rome, and I cannot wait to get to Rome. Do you remember that? Now, Rome was the center of the universe. Rome in the first century, it was like, you know, it's like Washington, D.C. and Wall Street and Hollywood all rolled up together. Rome was dark and powerful and evil. And Paul was a nobody. Paul said, I can't wait to get to Rome. You remember what he said? Romans chapter 1, he said, because when I get there, I'm going to preach the gospel to them. And then Paul says something remarkable. He says, you know what? The gospel has never disappointed me. That's when Paul says, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He's not talking about personal embarrassment. He's saying, the gospel has never let me down. The gospel has never disappointed me. He said, It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. That's gospel confidence, right? And they don't, whether they speak English or not, whether they got money in their pocket or not, whether they're struggling with addictions or broken homes or poverty, whether they're cast out from society or right in the center of society, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And what Mark chapter 1 says is you can't be saved until you believe this good news. But what Mark chapter 1 also teaches us is the church can't be the church if she doesn't believe in this good news. Believing in the gospel of the kingdom of God. Oh, God, restore our gospel confidence. And then the third commandment, Jesus says, follow me. Repent and believe in the gospel, verse 15. Verse 17, 16, 17, 18, follow me, follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Keep on following me. We just had Easter. And what's Easter about? He is not here, he has risen, right? Because of Easter, the great Christian confession of faith, Jesus is Lord. Listen, there's a whole lot of difference between Jesus is Lord and Jesus was Lord. Our core conviction, our Christian confession of faith, Jesus is Lord. Not just he was Lord, not just he will be Lord, but he is Lord. And that's why the call of Christ on your life and on mine is not follow my rules. It's not even follow my example. That's not the call of Christ. The call of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, you follow me. And so just like we ask the questions, If you've never had a life-changing encounter with Christ, have you repented of your sins? Do you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to follow him? So also we ask the Christians in this room, how long has it been since you've repented? Have you lost your confidence in the gospel? Do you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? And are you following Jesus? I'm not asking you if you were baptized. I'm not asking you if you go to church once or twice or three times a week. I'm asking you, are you following Jesus? That's a simple question. If I asked your spouse or your children, people you work with, is old Joe following Jesus? They'd know the answer to that. To follow him is to be like him. To follow him is to go where he leads. Sometimes we forfeit the fullness of his joy and peace and power. Sometimes we fail to realize all that it is that he wants to make us become because we won't follow him. This text tells us that when we follow him, he's always going to lead us to fish for men. When we follow him, he's going to lead us into holiness. When we follow him, he's going to lead us into the fellowship of the church. When we follow him, he's going to show us how it is he wants us to serve. Some of you here, maybe God's called you to carry the gospel to the nations. Maybe called you to be a pastor or a leader in the church, a minister of the gospel. But you're not willing to follow him. Keep on repenting. Keep on believing. Keep on following Jesus. Listen, I hope you'll come back tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. But I've got to confess to you that in some ways, you're just going to hear this same old stuff. Because this is where it always comes back to, doesn't it? Keep on repenting. Keep on believing the gospel. And keep on following Jesus. That was Jesus' message when he began. And it's still the message of our risen Lord Jesus today. You repent, believe, and follow me. Let's bow our heads together for prayer all across this place. I finished a little bit early because I want us to have plenty of time for the invitation. Heads bowed and eyes are closed across this place. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and your ministers and leaders will be standing here at the front. We'll stand together and sing a song. And this is not transition to Bible study. This is not a time for you to grab your purse and Bible and get ready to leave. This is a time to do business with Jesus. He's calling you to repent, to believe in the gospel, and to follow him. Will you answer his call? In just a moment, when I pray, when as soon as I say amen, we're going to stand up and sing. And I want you to move. Some of you here know that you need to be saved this morning. You've been playing games. You've been putting it off. But you don't have peace with God. And today you need to turn from your sin and trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. And say, I'm ready to follow you. This invitation is your chance. Come to one of these ministers and say, I want to be saved. I want to follow Jesus. This invitation is your chance. Others of you here, you're followers of Jesus. You've been saved. But God's Spirit calls you to repentance this morning. There's some sin in your life, maybe in the life of your family, maybe in this church. It may not be personal repentance. Maybe it's corporate repentance. Oh, God, not just, oh, God, forgive and change me, but, oh, God, forgive and change us. That's what leaders do. Forgive and change us. We repent. We turn from this brokenness and deadness and corruption, tolerating things that we should never tolerate. It could be that God's call for you this morning is to repent. Listen, if you'd come and kneel here at these front steps alone or with a friend or a family member, it would be a testimony to your staff and to this body, this church family. I'm repenting. I'm believing in the gospel. Listen, maybe there are lost, broken people in your family, in your community that you've written off. You've written them off. That's not a reflection on them. It's a reflection on you. You've lost your gospel confidence. And if you really believed that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, and you'd be praying for that person, you'd be burdened for that person. You'd be bringing them to church and sharing the good news with them. And you need to come and repent of that and begin to pray for them this morning, believing in the gospel. And some of you need to come following Jesus today. I don't know what it is, but you know. You've been hedging, hesitating, holding back, but you're ready to follow Jesus this morning. The risen Lord Jesus, who's alive and at work and speaking to you even now, he's your Lord. Now you follow him. Follow him today. And you may need to speak to one of these ministers about it or come and kneel here and pray. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Jesus comes bringing the kingdom, he always comes calling us to repent, to believe in the gospel, and to follow him. He's doing that this morning. Today, when you hear his voice, Don't harden your heart. I'm going to pray. When I say amen, you move. The ministers will be here to receive you. Father, thank you for your word, living and active, cutting us to the very core of our being, relevant today as it was on the first day. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word. We praise the name of Jesus this morning, who came to bring the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus, our King and Lord, who humbled himself on the cross and rose victoriously. We praise the name of Jesus. And oh Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear, hearts to obey. Make us a people marked by repentance and confidence in the gospel. A people who are always following Jesus to the praise and the glory of your grace. We come to you now with humble and obedient hearts. In his name we pray, amen. Let's stand together and you come.